All right. Good morning, church. Who smelled the pancakes when you came in? Anybody smell some pancakes? I'm trying to get the kids to bring them out here, but they haven't brought them out, so I guess we're just going to have to go on with it. If you didn't notice some people with some hair curlers in, that's our executive assistant. She dresses like that all the time. I don't know what her problem is, so... No, they're having pajama and pancake day back in the kids' area. They like to have fun back there, so that's what's up with all the pajamas. If this is your first time, thanks for coming. Can we give it up for our first-time guest? I know being someone who was de-church, meaning went to church but then kind of left, I know how uncomfortable it can be to come to church for the first time, and our goal is to make you as comfortable as possible. You do not need the believed to come here. We just want people to come and experience. I talk about Jesus. You get to choose. Jesus never forced himself on anyone, but people wanted Jesus because he changed lives. And so he's changed my life. And so that's why we're here. Sean Jensen. And before we tell you anything else, I want to let you know last week we had Easter Sunday, and we had nearly 700 people come through our experiences last week. So that was incredible. Sobering. Now the number is a little bit, I'm going to be honest, is a little bit under 700. I forgot the exact number, so what you do is you go up, right? Because, no, I'm just kidding. But I really don't, and I'm going to get the exact number. We'll share that more. And 30 people decided to give their lives to Jesus and follow him. So it's life-changing. And they're starting their journey. Does that mean they're perfect? We are a perfect place for imperfect people. And I'm grateful that God is allowing me to even be up here on the stage to speak. Because I am a mess. I am a mess, but God is good. So we are starting a brand new series called Facing Jaws. Facing Jaws. Who's seen? Oh, no. I'm sorry, guys. For some reason, I don't know. Sorry, his name's Stuart. He's all right. Just give him some time. He's looking for a seat, I think. I don't think he'll bite. There you go. Everyone, give it up for Stuart. What's up, Stuart? I don't care if it's cheesy or not. I want a shark in the experience. Can make fun of me later. Who doesn't want a cool-looking shark from the Super Bowl that Katy Perry sang from, right? Don't know. Just look up those videos. He was completely up. Hey, I appreciate you coming. We are a church for everyone, but you are not a person, so we're just going to have to ask you. On your way out, check out the first time. Give it up for Stuart, guys. I'm sorry. Like, we'll talk to you later. Be sure to check out the first-time guest table on your way out. We will call you. Thank you. We'll be seeing more of Stuart in the next few weeks. We're going to be going through this series for a while. You don't want to miss out. We have some stuff planned for him. Everyone say bye, Stuart.
Bye, Stuart.
Appreciate you, man. Get out. Go. All right. So, no, we're glad you're here. I don't know. Who have seen this classic? Who's seen Jaws? Anyone seen Jaws? If you have not seen Jaws, do yourself a favor. Get yourself a bigger boat and watch Jaws. Because it is one of the best movies Spielberg has ever made. And so people are still terrified of the oceans, like me. And plus, we're in the Midwest because of Jaws. And so the reason why we're doing a series called Facing Jaws, we like to talk about a topic. And we're going to be in Joshua 7 and 8, which is in the Old Testament. And the main reason why we're doing this is there's this phrase called grasping victory from the jaws of defeat. And my heart was to actually talk about defeat and how we can defeat defeat. Because I don't know about you, but I do not like going through defeat. I don't like losing. I'm the person that says, I'm not a competitive person until I lose, right? Like, that's how it is. I'm not competitive as long as I'm winning. When I lose my salvation, right? That's just what it's about. Pray for me. I'm working on it. So, Sean, that's not even biblical. Yeah, well, Facing Jaws, we're going to take some time to talk about defeat. And here's why. I heard this story that I've used here before, but I want to bring it in hindsight. In India, when elephants are born, not giraffes, we're done with that. When elephants are born, they actually, at the time they're little, like little cute, can you imagine? So like a little cute elephant, still like 100 pounds, by the way. So that's a big baby. They're pregnant for like 2 years. Did you know that? It's crazy. I don't know. It might be longer than that. 2 years. And when they're babies, what they do is they put a chain around one of their legs, and they tie them to a post that's in the ground. And so what they do to teach them to states that they'll try thrashing and moving and just seeing an elephant. It's sad. I know. You can all say, but they're doing that and they're trying to get away. And what happens is you'll go into India and you'll see full grown elephants that people ride and like take into like the rainforest, stuff like that. You'll go into there, and when you get there, this is in Africa too, and there's Indian elephants and African elephants. When they get there, you'll see that there is a elephant with a piece of rope, just a little twine, wrapped to their leg, and the other side of it is in a stake in the ground. A full-grown elephant who could pull that out in a second. But because of all the defeat that they spent trying, as chained as a baby, they quit trying as an adult because of something in their mind. I thought that was crazy, and I feel like that's kind of us, that we need to talk about defeat, because here's the thing. We sometimes talk about how you need to step out and try things that God's asking you to do, but we let fear get in. But I honestly believe, too, the reason why we don't step out is because we've had the sting of defeat in the past, too. I mean, and this message is for everybody. If you're on your third marriage, this message is for you. If you are going through a hard time with your family, this message is for you. If you maybe tried to launch a job and it didn't work out, this message is for you. I don't know where you are. If you feel like you've been trying to give something up, maybe a bad habit or something in your life that you're trying to knock and you just can't do it, maybe it's because you've gone through so much defeat that you stop trying, just like the elephant. And so my heart through this series is that we would teach us in our church that we would not let defeat have the last say, because if we were looking at our Savior Jesus, he won it all. And so in order for us to step out, we need to how can we handle defeat? I was going to call the series Defeating Defeat, but I thought that would just confuse everybody. And it's just like a tongue. I would not be able to say that 10 times fast. Defeating defeat, defeating defeat, defeat. Maybe I could say it 10 times fast. Been working on it, though. So we're calling it Facing Jaws, because everyone loves a good comeback story. Everyone loves someone who grasps victory from the jaws of defeat. They may have been down the entire game, but the fourth quarter is what matters most, right? Tell the New England Patriots that, right? Like, they were down the whole game in the Super Bowl, but they came back and won. That's grasping victory from the jaws of defeat. So, if you've been down, if you've been out, I pray that this is going to be the series that gets you back up and to grab victory so defeat is no longer in your life. And that's my goal here. So, we're going to be in Joshua 7. I'm going to read it, and to some of you, it's not going to make any sense. That's okay. I'm going to explain what's going on after I read it so that there's context, you know, because it's a good story. Joshua 7. But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was a son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Now, we look and we see God was angry, a typical God. No, God wasn't angry just to be angry. God actually gave the Israelites instructions, and they went against it. And you know why God was angry? Not just because they sinned, but because their sin hurts. And God doesn't want to see us go through pain and struggle, but he knows sin does that. And God gets angry not just because we sin. He gets angry because he wants us to be safe. He wants us to experience him. And so when we choose something else, he's not just angry at us. He's angry at the fact that we chose something harmful when he wants to give us something better. So that's why he's angry right here. I wanted to make sure everyone understood that. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Haven. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all of our people struggle to go up there." So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. Not just defeated, the Israelites were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites, remember God's people, from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Lord, I pray right now that you would just speak through me. I pray that these wouldn't be my words. Lord, this is not a religion. There's so much religion out in that world. We don't need religion. We need Jesus. We don't need more rules. We don't need more regulations. We need Jesus. And when we follow you, Jesus, you show us that you're worth it. And we thank you for that. So speak through us, speak to us, let us lean in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I promise you the next 4 or 5 weeks as I go through this series to give you my absolute all. Can I do that? I try to do it every other week too. This isn't just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to decide to give everything. If you promise to do something with me, if you say I'm a part of Authentic Church, Your promise is to say, I'm going to take whatever is preached and I'm going to start putting it into practice. So as long as I'm preaching with everything I got, I need you, it's a two-way street. I need you to help me out with that as well. So let me explain the context of the story. We're talking about the Israelites, which is God's chosen people. The Israelites are being led by this guy named Joshua. Now check out Joshua's story, because this is crazy and scary. First and foremost, we talk about Moses, who split the Red Sea with God's strength. Moses took God's people out of slavery, led them through the Red Sea, amazing miracle, and then they were in the wilderness for 40 years, complaining, walking in circles. It should have been a few-week trip. It took 40 years. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes that we should be through things in like a week, but it takes 12 years, right? Like, it took 40 years, and before Moses took him into the promised land that they were promised, Moses died right before the river to get over there. And then God looks at Joshua and says, Joshua, you're the man. You're stepping up, you're filling Moses' shoes, and you're taking these people into the promised land. Now, the promised land is the place that God promised for them, but they were grapes, which showed they were giant grapes. So we're talking about grapes that were huge. And the only other thing was there were giants in the land too, because who knows that every blessing is wrapped in the battle. Every blessing that I've found out is wrapped in the battle. You want a blessing in your marriage? Sometimes you have to fight for your marriage. You want a blessing for your kids? Sometimes you have to fight for your kids. You want a blessing in your life? Sometimes you got to fight for that thing. And I've realized that. And so as soon as they get over there, Joshua, check this out, he splits the Jordan River. So it kind of shows what happened with Moses. So people knew that God was with Joshua, just like he was with Moses. He did it again, like we sang about. They go into the promised land. And as soon as they get into the promised land, there was a battle. And the battle was called Jericho. Now, this is Jericho. This is kind of a cool story. Jericho was a town that was surrounded by walls. And God said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to walk around that thing six times, and on the seventh day, you're going to walk, like, once a day, and on the seventh day, you're going to walk around it seven times. On the seventh time, wait till I tell you to shout, and you're just going to yell, hey! Woo! Right? Maybe dab a little bit. I don't know what they did, but they're just going to shout. Did you see them dabbing at the wall? They just start shouting, and the walls tremble. They fall down, and it said, as soon as the walls go down, God said, go in and take them. And they went in, and they conquered Jericho just like that because God was with them. But God said this. He said, now leave everything in Jericho. Don't take any livestock. Don't take any gold. Don't take anything that's in there because there's some nice stuff in there, but that is for me. Don't take any of it. So God was with them. They went in there, and how do many know you had one job, right? You had one job. Achan decides to take one thing from Jericho. And because he takes one thing, he hides it in his tent. And that's where we take off what just happened here. You see, no one in Israel knew that Achan did this. But because he did it, the presence that was with them to battle Jericho wasn't with them when they went to Ai. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But I want to convey this. Because a lot of people think when they read the Old Testament, God is just an angry, jealous, and wrathful God. How could we serve someone like that? I think we forget about the people he's mad at. We make it all about God, but we were the ones who chose to sin. We were the ones who chose to bring hurt on our life. And nothing makes a parent more mad than when a kid chooses to bring hurt on their life. And so he comes and he says, I'm trying to bring Jesus into this picture so you can be healed and set free. Achan takes something, right? And that's where he took into the story. So they go to fight Ai after this amazing battle. Now, I don't know about you, but there's this word called momentum. Everyone say momentum. Look at the Bulls right now, right? I don't know what happened this past time, but if you don't understand, the Bulls are the worst seed in the playoffs, and they were up 2-0 in the playoffs against the number one team. They had momentum. Everyone say momentum. We had 700 people come through last week, and 30 people got saved. We have momentum. Everyone say momentum. You see, it's easy to have momentum from a victory. You see, I realized that in the story, we didn't take this into consideration, but they were defeated, the jaws of defeat. I know there's a lot of information. I'm going to get there. This is the beginning of the whole series. So they go out. They said, Joshua said, go spy out the land. We just got done beating Jericho. Go check out the land. See what we need to do. They come back and say, Ai, nobody's. We got this, right? like this is easy. There's a Cleveland Browns, right, of like the NFL. Like they're just they're terrible. And you know, we got this. You know what? Just send about 3,000 people. Or you said like just send a couple thousand of us. Don't make all of us go up there. This is going to be an easy battle. And sure enough, they walk out. Why? Because the victory behind them. They just beat Jericho. They kind of had some momentum. They were kind of like, check it out what we did. And they go into AI and look at what happens. AI soundly defeats them. Have you ever walked into a situation like, I got this interview, and you walk out like, man, I forgot to zip up my pants, right? nobody, that was like my pastor friend last week. He was so excited for Easter, and he preached a whole first experience with his fly down. Like, he was like, I got this, dang it, right? Like, you went in like, I got this, and you left like soundly defeated. Like, we got this. We only need a few thousand people. We can do this. But one thing I realized in the story, unlike any other story, before they went to battle, they didn't ask God if they should be fighting that battle. How many times have we tried fighting battles and we find ourselves defeated? Because we weren't supposed to be fighting them in the first place. This is Marriage 101, by the way. They tell you this. They tell you it's really good. They said, Sean, especially Sean, because I'm the worst at it, choose your battles wisely. Thank you for adding that word too. Don't just choose your battles, choose them wisely. Is that one worth fighting? Because chances are that's just going to blow over in a second. Is that one worth fighting? Every battle to me is worth fighting, right? Like, this one's it. I want peanut butter and jelly right now, right? Worth it. And you look at this and they go into this battle and they're soundly defeated. And my encouragement would be to look at this text and realize that God makes it look easy, doesn't he? We look so many times, and the Israelites thought that Jericho, let's be honest, they thought Jericho was them. They thought they did that. They were like, did you see what happened in Jericho? We screamed, we were playing some metal music, and the walls came down, and we walked in and took everything. So we got AI, but they forgot that God makes it look easy. Because God said, I'll be with you wherever you go, Joshua. You see, if you actually look at the Israelite army, if you look throughout Scripture, let's just be real. The Israelite army, they were a bunch of wimps. Sean, can you say that? Yeah, they were a bunch of wimps. They were cowards like you and I. I can say that because I know that I found myself hiding in a corner a lot more than I want to be, right? We talk about this conquering, this grave conquering Jesus, and yet so many Christians like me find myself hiding in the corner more than we want to. Let's look at the Israelite army for a second because they got defeated. Israel was the same group that was in the wilderness for 40 years complaining. They were the ones that as soon as Pharaoh started chasing them when they escaped, they said, take us back to slavery. We'd rather eat meat there than this bread out here in the wilderness. Sounds pretty powerful and warrior-like. They were the ones that, even though they saw Jericho and all these great wars won, they were the one that when Goliath showed up on the scene, they all hid for days and said, we're not fighting him. I'm not going out there. Goliath said, come out and fight me. They said, no. We're not going to do this. It's like God took down giant walls. I'm sure he can take down a giant person. But what happened is the Israelites stood up on the hill and let this guy taunt them. They didn't fight them. And remember, David comes out. This little scrawny boy comes out and says, I'll fight him. And what does he say? I come at you, not by my might, but by the Lord of heaven armies. So this is what I'm trying to get at. A lot of times, God makes things look easy that happened back there, so then we try fighting battles in our own strength, forgetting that we needed God in that battle, and we need him into this battle too. They went out to AI and got soundly defeated because they forgot to put God in it. Simple. They forgot to put God in it. And how many times are we losing battles because we forgot to put God in it? I know many times I've lost battles because I forgot to put God in it. I look at our church. And can I be honest, guys? I love our church. We have amazing people in our church. God is doing great things in our church. People are being helped in our community. People are being encouraged all over the place. You guys are amazing. You're generous. Because of your gifts, we're hearing about women and sex trafficking being enslaved, and we're hearing all these things. God is up to something in our church. But if you took God out of it, our church would suck. This, you don't ever look back and be like, did you see what we did on Easter? Listen, if God wasn't in it, we would not have seen that on Easter. So don't get so cocky that when we step in and say, this is where we're going, don't forget, if God was in it back there, then we need him up here, because without him, we will be defeated. But if we need to invite God into our situation here. Guys, I'm here from experience. I'm here just telling you, an hour ago, I was back here in the band room being prayed over while I'm preaching about defeated, that I came out here in my own strength and tried preaching. Guys, you need to pray for me, because I came out here thinking I had this and I didn't have it. But Zechariah says, not by power nor by might, but by God's Spirit. You see, we talk about this, but we need to talk about it a little bit more. We have got to invite God into our situations if we want to see defeat expelled in our life. The Israelites went back out. We got this. Jericho was down, and they went in their own strength. It is so easy to go in your own strength. Why? Because God makes it look easy. He makes it look easy. Like, man, some people look at Sean or look at the worship team or look at someone and be like, I wish I was like them. I'm telling you, God's making it look easy. Because without God, we're useless. The name of this message, I forgot to tell them, and they're probably waiting. If you're writing notes down, it's called the God Factor. The God factor. You see, in Jericho, the Israelites had the God factor. But in Ai, they didn't. But like, Sean, what about Achan's sin? I thought the sin was what made them lose. Yes. But don't you think God is so loving that if they actually would have approached God before they went out to the battle, he would have showed them that there were some things to take care of before they went out and fought? You're running after battles before you're ready for them. I'm running after battles before I'm ready for them. We want the church to grow like this, or we want something to change like that, or we want our budget to do this. And God said, you're trying to fight a battle that you're not even ready for. But when you seek me for guidance, I will give you the tools you need to be prepared for it. I truly believe if they would have came to God first, he would have said, hey, before you go out there, hindsight, someone took something from Jericho. And we'll learn about that in the future. I love this scripture. It says this in 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons. You can go ahead and leave that up there right now. I want to look at this, because what happens in our life with faith. Now, if you're here and you may not understand this stuff or you don't believe it, that's completely fine. But if you say, I'm a follower of Christ, you have to understand something. We have all got to understand something. What we do is spiritual. It's not to be weird. It's not to be like, what is going on? Everything we do is spiritual. And Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth. By the way, the church of Corinth, they get the nickname the church gone wild. These people were nuts. They were crazy. They were an authentic church who had flaws and imperfections. And Paul keeps writing to them to encourage them what to do. And he says this, we use God's mighty weapons. Can you go to verse 3 real fast? Sorry. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. And then verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons. In Ephesians, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principles thereof. Meaning, what you're facing in your life, guys, isn't necessarily just a physical being that you're dealing with. I'm going to get a little deeper. How many times have we fought earthly battles, or how many times have we fought spiritual battles with earthly weapons? Have you heard the phrase, don't bring a knife to a gunfight? I've been there many a times. Don't bring in that. What does that mean? It means that if we bring our own understanding and our own logic and our own strength to a spiritual battle, we will lose every single time. Paul says we need godly weapons, weapons that are designed to do spiritual warfare. Churches don't talk about spiritual warfare enough, and I can tell you why. Because it's weird. When you begin to say stuff like, we deal with spiritual warfare, people get creeped out because they just want to have good feelings and positive attitudes. But can I tell you something? You will never find victory in your life if you never learn how to fight in the spirit. You will never have victory in your life if you never find out that there's actually an enemy, the devil, who prowls around looking for someone to devour. And you understand, and maybe you don't understand, why things keep happening in your life. And it's because you keep trying to fight a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. And until you realize that we need godly weapons, you won't see victory in your life. Well, guess what? You have a 29-year-old pastor who has had some experience in fighting with this. I'm going to give you some tools today. So when you leave today, you can say, no longer am I going to try fighting in my own strength, not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of God. Jesus said this. He said, in man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I'm telling you today that what you're facing, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we look here and he says, fight mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. So this is what I want you to understand. When you leave today, whoever you're mad at, whoever you're against right now, whoever this makes you so upset, they're probably in this church. You're like, I come to 11:15 because my ex-girlfriend comes to 9:30. I don't want to see her. I don't want to look at her. But thank God for two experiences. Can I get an amen? That's why we have two experiences. Want to know why? So people who got, you know, exes can get in different. No, I'm just kidding. But the reason why, listen, the reason why is this. When your boss maybe is a little bit more hard on you than anybody else and you don't understand it, before you get upset with them and start lashing out at them, remember this. When you are going through a battle, the person is not your real enemy. This will change everything. When you have a wrong with someone, the person is not your enemy. This is really good for marriage because I'm telling you, my wife is not my enemy. I am not her enemy. When you are going through a struggle, remember who the real enemy is. We spend so much time in churches. I've heard Reliant K say it best. The enemy laughs while we have this Christian civil war. We constantly attack each other for the mistakes we've made instead of going at the spiritual battle that needs to be taken. And as long as we keep looking in the flesh and the physical, we will never take ground because the enemy knows one thing. If he can get you to think that it's actually the person that's standing in front of you that's doing all this, then you'll keep fighting with earthly weapons. But when you realize it's going to take prayer, when you realize it's going to take worship, when you realize it's going to take fasting, and you realize it's going to take God's word, then he starts getting scared. Why? Because that's the only thing that can cut him up. And when they get in our hand, we can begin to speak those things at him. And I remember this preaching in the first experience, and people began to get up in their seat. And God said to me, he said, Sean, people don't get up out of the seat because of your strength, but because of my strength. And when people begin to cheer and people begin to get excited, it's not because of your human strength, but because they see something inside of them that says that. Because here's what happens. What happens is people look and say, why are people standing up and cheering? He must tell them to do that. You're right. I was like, hey, when it gets heated, can you stand up, please, and make sure everybody else stands up? Now, I don't want to bash anybody because I know there's pastors who do that. Because sometimes it's a response. And we've been there. And we've done that before. But if that happens, then can I tell you something? Then I'm not going to know the difference between when it's me speaking or when it's God speaking. Because I'll tell you one thing. You know what gets me out of my seat? Jesus, not Sean. Do you know what gets me out of my seat? Oh, come on, so you know what gets me out of my seat? Jesus, not Colin. I love you. You know what gets me out of my seat? Not human, but God. And my encouragement today as we look at this is that you would put God in it. Some of you are going through some defeat like this army is going through. And some of you are dealing with some struggles like this army is going through. And I just wanted to encourage you today, if you would ask this question, is God in it? Is God in it? That's all I have to say. That's all I'm banking on. That's all that God asked me to do, because if you continue to fight without God, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You'll be tired. You'll be exhausted. You'll continue to find defeat. But when you begin to use God's mighty weapons, let me tell you what those are. First off, it's prayer. So when you realize that the person you're looking at isn't changing like you want them to, stop trying to get them to change in your own strength. Pray for them. I have heard so many amazing stories of parents who have prayed for their kids. Or I've heard so many amazing stories for friends who have prayed for other friends who are going through so much hurt and pain, and they tried to change them. And sure enough, as soon as they stopped to change them and they took a step back and started to pray for them, everything changed. Why? Because we're not fighting physical battles. So, for instance, I have a 3-year-old daughter. Her name's Avery Bell. She'll tell you her name's Avery Bell. That's her middle name. She's back in the kids right now pounding pancakes because I told her, eat as many as possible. Make sure you make it all worth it. The budget, take it all out because they're buying you pancakes, girl. We don't get anything free, but when someone gives it for free, come on, eat it all. That's what he's trying to say. And so she's back there right now, and she is not, but she is sometimes the most rude little girl I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm like, where did you learn that? And then I say something to my wife. I'm like, oh, me. Okay. So, and she began to, like, her and her sister are fighting a lot. That's normal for 2-year-olds and or 3-year-olds and 1.5-year-olds. And Charlie's a little instigator. And she was just being rude to people. And I realized in my heart that I would just constantly try to change her and do this. And one day I just felt like, you know what? I spend so much time complaining about this situation and talking about the situation. How much time have I actually spent praying about the situation? This is for someone right now. You keep complaining about your mother-in-law. Oh, I'm not kidding. You keep complaining about your mother-in-law and why she does this and why she does that. Pray for your mother-in-law. You keep complaining about your boss and why he does this and why she does that. And you keep complaining about the pastor here at church. I know it happens. I know it happens. I'm not mad about it. I complain about things too, but I know it happens. I know I don't do everything right. But so many times we complain about the people in the church. We complain about our friends. We complain and complain. Like, Sean, I'm not complaining. I'm just venting. Whatever you want to call it, right? How much have you actually spent praying about it? Because when you stop complaining and you turn to praying, you drop the earthly weapons and you pick up God's mighty weapons. And that's when it's just a change. Does that mean it's going to happen overnight? It doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. But you can begin to watch God work. How do you get God in it? You pray. You get God's word. It's a sword. It's talked about the sword. The reason why he calls it a sword is because it's sharp. There's nothing that can go against God's word. And we begin to use God's word. You can begin to use it. So when you pray, begin to use scripture. Pray what's in God's word over people. Pray over it your own life, whenever you're dealing with. And this is what I'm saying, guys. My Jericho, I dealt with some stuff when I first came to Christ. And I remember I told Liz, this isn't to boost my confidence. Please don't hear me the wrong way. I told Liz, I said, I remember when the stuff I was going through, it broke me so much. I wanted to overcome. I felt like I was so defeated to the point. I was like, why did I even start following Christ in the first place? This is so difficult. But I wanted to overcome it. And so I remember I took index cards. And I took index cards and I took paper. And I began to just write scripture on all of them. All of them. Scripture, 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 scripture. Scripture. And I remember that I would go and be watching movies with the guys, and I'd be like, sorry guys, I gotta go. I'm gonna go in my room and pray for a little bit. And so I'd go in there. And this is what I realized, that I put God in my situation, and he delivered me from those things. And I have spent so much time with current struggles where God finally told me this week, Sean, remember how much you were fighting with godly weapons back there? Why are you trying to fight with your weapons right now? Because God makes it look easy. Sometimes he makes it look like we did it. But we have to remind ourselves, no, we didn't. God did it. And he's got to be in it. And as I begin to preach this message in the first experience, I realize that there's people who are fighting battles. I'm going to have the worship team come up. They're fighting battles in their own strength. I don't know what your battle is. I don't know what your struggle is. You know what? I do care. I won't say I don't care. I could care less. That's a completely wrong words I was going to use, and I'm glad I didn't. I do care. But more importantly than me caring, God cares. But I remember praying. And you know what breaks my heart the most? Is to see so many people going through defeat because they have never had the tools of what it means to fight a spiritual battle. Because here it is, guys. Everything we do is spiritual. When you walk out today, and God works in your heart right now, tomorrow, there's going to be something that's going to try attacking you. It's going to happen. We've seen it. But if you don't have the tools that you need to fight, you're going to feel defeated. The Israelites walked out, and they were soundly defeated. They didn't ask God if they should fight. They went in their own strength. They felt like because we won back there, we can win right here. And I just want to let you guys know one thing. And I hope you hear this as an encouragement before we pray. It wasn't too long ago, me and my buddy were driving down Old 66, because we are a 66 town. And as we were driving down, the tire blew out. And since the tire blew out, we had to change the tire. And we were in trouble. We're like, you know what? We need to change the tire. So we, first off, Googled how to change a tire. Don't judge me. I know how to do it now, all right? Okay. Well, God, I got this. Thank God for smartphones, right? Google it. YouTube it. So first off, I Googled how to change a tire. And I was like, you know what, man, do you have a spare tire in your back? He's like, I do. Like, that's what it's for. Even though it was like a little donut, it was a spare tire. And so I went back and we got the spare tire out and we grabbed that thing. And sure enough, we put it on and hopefully put it on good enough. We tightened it on up and then we took care of the situation, threw the other tire in the back and, you know, came back home so we could get new tires because it was just a donut. We didn't want to drive on it. Kind of felt weird. Some of you drove with a donut for far too long. We'll be praying that God gives you money to get a tire. And I thought about that in our faith, how sometimes, like, we don't really have God in our situation until we need him. God is not a spare tire. God is not our spare tire. But a lot of times, we have God, and we rock the cross on our necklace, and we have the cool, the Jesus fish in our bumper. Not saying it's a bad thing, but sometimes we have all this cool stuff, but yet the tire is still in the back. And we go about our life doing our own thing, and we wonder what's going on. And then when all hell breaks loose, we need the spare tire. Except our spare tire has become God. And sure enough, we find out in the scripture, as soon as defeat happens, they begin to cry out to God. What if we cried out to God before the battle? What if they would have cried out to God before it even started? This whole message would have been completely different if it said, before they went and fought Ai, he said, before you go and spy out the land, spend some time asking God if we should even fight this battle. Because if they would have done that, things probably would have been a little bit different. But instead, they put God in the trunk and said, if we need him, we'll get him out. But right now, we don't. And when they were soundly defeated, guess who they got out of the trunk? And it's just like God to sometimes let us go through a defeat. Why? To get him out of the trunk. He wants out of the trunk. He's not supposed to be in the trunk until all hell breaks loose and then we get him out. He says, if you put me on the car right now, I'll make sure that even through hell and high water, hard times will come. But Jesus said, in this world you'll have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So in the middle of your troubles, in the middle of your trials, don't keep me in the back. Keep me in the driver's seat. You know what? You get out of the driver's seat and you sit in the passenger seat. God is not my co-pilot. If he was my co-pilot, I couldn't fly this thing. God is my pilot. I need him to drive it. I need him to lead me. I need him to show me. And it's the same for you and I. If you have Jesus in the back seat right now as a spare tire, it's 12:15 right now. The next 5 minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to worship. And if you need to get him out of the trunk, what am I saying? You need God in your situation. You need God in your job. You need God in your marriage. You need God just in your personal life. Because the battles you're facing, you're trying to quit, and you can't do it with God. But today, you're going to put God in it. And you're going to get him out of the trunk. And you're going to say, God, I'm sorry that I put you in the trunk. But right now, I need you to do it again. You saved me back there. I need you to do it right here. No longer will I fight spiritual battles with earthly weapons. I'm going to put God in it. We need the God factor. If you're here today, you know, I'm not even going to hesitate. People say in church growth, like, don't do these things because it might scare people. But we are a community of believers who pray for each other. Where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. Where two or three come in agreement, he says, in there it will be done. So where's the best place to pray? At church with you all. I went Southern on you. So if you need God in it right now, you need to get the trunk out of the back seat. I know it's burning in your heart. Sir, whoever you are, I know you're nervous and you feel embarrassed to even admit it, but it's okay. Don't feel embarrassed. You're going to come up here. When I say three, you're going to come up here. You feel embarrassed because people are going to look at you because you kept them in the trunk. Guys, I've kept them in the trunk just this week. I don't care where you are in this room. If you're an usher, if you're on stage, if you're back in the AV, when I count to three, you're coming up here and you're going to get God in your situation right now. This is when God moves. This is when he says, this is a step of faith. This is when the water splits, is when we step into it. So we're going to do it. So we're going to kick this music up. The church is going to worship. But if you need God in your situation right now, you're going to come right down. You're not going to hesitate. You're going to come on down. One, two, three. Come on down right now, church. Let's just begin to sing. Thank you right now. If you need God in your situation right now, this isn't weird. We're just going to pray with them. Nothing weird is going to happen. We're just going to pray. It's just I want them all collectively. Thank you. If you need God in your situation, I don't care if you're an usher, if you're on stage, if you're in the AV. We don't need lights and all the lyrics right now. We just need Jesus in our situation. Keep on coming up. Keep on coming up. Give it up for people who are stepping in faith right now. If you need God in your situation, come on up. It's all right. Keep coming. Keep coming. This is what it's all about. We're not looking at you in shame. We're not looking at you in shame. This is what it's all about. Thank you. Come on. There's still more people coming. Come on up. Let's keep giving it up for them if they're going to keep taking obedience step. Thank God. Praise God. Is this all right?